I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. For those of you that are following along in your bulletin, I've added in the three verses that are taken out, so don't get lost there. And so we read, as the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to
you, O Christ.
And you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever just wondered when Jesus knew he was the Son of God? I mean, was the baby Jesus fully conscious of his divinity at birth and some kind of all-knowing and all-powerful super-duper wonder child? Or did it take time for Jesus to grow into his role and understanding of what it might mean to be both fully human and fully divine? It's hard to say for sure. But with the exception of one short little passage in Luke's gospel, we don't really have a lot to go on. You might remember this short little story as it's the one that Nikki read 2 weeks ago about 12-year-old Jesus ditching his parents and being eventually found in the temple. Now it would appear, at least according to Luke, that this time with Jesus in the temple might have been that moment Jesus first realized he was divine. But then if that's the case, why does Luke tell us he returned to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph, was obedient to them, and that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor? Think about that for a moment. If Jesus at the age of 12 knew he was God's son, that he was actually God in the flesh come to save the world, why would he need to continue to increase in wisdom and in divine and human favor? Well, maybe Jesus didn't really know he was God's son in the sense of being the true son of God at this moment, but rather simply felt drawn to God the same way I see so many members of our congregation light up when it's time for worship. I mean, you've got to admit that there's something special, something that feels so right, and something that is miraculous about being gathered in a place with people who week after week are listening to stories and singing songs together about God's love for the world. And most importantly, gathering together to hear again and again that they are specifically loved by God. Why, even the youngest child can feel this love. And it's through this love that we can begin to discover the faith we first received in our own baptism. It is through this love that we learn to love others and come to love God more and more. Maybe come to love God just like a father. So maybe that's what Jesus meant when he was found by his parents talking with the priests and scribes saying, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And if this is the case, then we're still left trying to answer the question of, when did Jesus really know he was the Son of God? Well, maybe we'll never know for sure. But I think we can confidently declare that if he didn't know it before, Jesus certainly knew it once he was baptized. He must have known it when heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And he definitely must have known it when a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now the baptism of Jesus is a story that all four gospel writers felt it was imperative to share. But while Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each tells us about this event, no two of them tell exactly the same story. In fact, Luke's version just might be the most confusing because nowhere does it say Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And maybe most striking is that we also discover John might not have even been the one to baptize Jesus. He couldn't, because it appears John was already locked up in jail by Herod. So just who baptized Jesus? Was it a follower of John's? Or could it be that once John had completed his baptism of repentance to everyone who had gathered and told the crowds in no uncertain terms that he was not the Messiah that they had been expecting, Jesus was drawn to some undisclosed body of water where some way, somehow, by someone or something, he was simply baptized? And maybe it's just me, but has anyone else ever wondered why Jesus even needed to be baptized in the first place? I mean, it's not like Jesus needed to repent of his sins, as we know he was the one who knew no sin. And yet Luke tells us he was baptized. Luke tells us he was baptized, but he also tells us something more. And what Luke tells us is that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he immediately took the time to pray. And I think that this praying is rather important because you get the feeling that the baptism by water in and of itself was nothing remarkable for Jesus. It was simply an act, a ritual, or a symbolic way of entering into a relationship with people born into a broken world. In essence, it was nothing more than a ceremonial display of solidarity. Now, Jesus' water baptism was nothing too terribly extraordinary. What was extraordinary, however, was what came next. And what came next was Jesus hearing the word of God. But remember, Jesus only heard the word of God in response to first taking the time to pray. You see, Jesus joined the water with words, and as God's Son, the words he spoke in prayer was the word of God. Now, Luther in his small catechism says about baptism that true baptism is not water only, but it is water used together with God's word and by his command. So Jesus is immersed in water. Jesus prays. The heavens open. The Spirit descends. God's voice rings out. And then immediately he begins a ministry to save the world by making disciples who in turn he sends out to baptize and bear witness in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus takes John's baptism of repentance and supercharges it into a baptism of saving grace for all who come to believe in Him as their Lord and Savior. Remember, John told us that he only baptized with water, but that there is one coming who will be more powerful and who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that one more powerful is none other than Jesus, who shows us that it is not water that does these things, but God's Word coupled with the water and our trust in His Word. So water by itself is only water. But with the Word of God, it is a life-giving water which by grace gives new birth through the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, as you may know, baptism is one of two sacraments we cling to as Lutherans, with the other being Holy Communion. And both of these sacraments we hold as sacred because not only did Jesus Himself do both, but also because He commands us to do likewise. And so at the beginning of His ministry, we see Jesus lifting up baptism because through baptism we are made new and adopted as children of God. While at the end of His earthly ministry, we are invited to feast on forgiveness when we are told to take and eat and drink of the bread and the wine, which Jesus tells us is truly His own body and blood broken and shed for you. Thus, through holy baptism and holy communion, you receive God's grace and you receive God's love. A selfless love lived out through your servant Savior, who just wants you to love God, love Him, and through the Holy Spirit, love one another. But love is a strange and dangerous thing. To love takes courage and a lot of trust. And to love can be one of the hardest things you ever do. And yet Jesus tells us over and over again that this is exactly what you were created to do. You were created out of love to love. And so in this season after Epiphany, may God continue to reveal Himself to you. May you bask in both the love of God and the relationships you enter into. And may our congregation, this baptismal community, continue striving to find new ways to reach out and serve those in need, while sharing the promise of God's all-encompassing grace, first given through the water and with His Word. A word Jesus offers up in prayer unto God His Father. A word spoken out from the heavens in reply to God's only Son. And a word the Holy Spirit drives each of you as baptized children of God out into the world to proclaim. So let us go forth and do just that. Let us proclaim the good news that so that all may come to believe, be baptized, and be saved. Amen.